إن أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله ما بعد. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live today, all the way from right here in, we're in Queens, aren't we? Queens, New York. Jamaica, Queens. He wants to make a point out of the name of the place here. You see how he slipped that in there on me? Okay, that's cool. And alhamdulillah, you're listening to our program, which is sort of a landmark program for us because we have never been in this masjid before. This is our first day here. Alhamdulillah, we had the khutbah here today, which actually was tolerable. Some of it was in pretty fair English, too much Texas in it, but some Arabic, too much Texas in the Arabic. But we survived it, alhamdulillah. And now here we are for the program tonight. And we hope, inshallah, that everybody will do two things. We hope that you will benefit in this life and the next life from what we're going to say and do here tonight. But additionally, we also hope you're going to have some fun. We hope that you'll be pleased and go home feeling good about what? About being a Muslim. Because there's certainly a lot of information going around these days about Islam and Muslims that is maybe depressing, and that's at the best. And how about what's the condition when we think about the poor Muslim children, the Muslim youth here in this country, and the new Muslims who come to Islam. And when they look at the newspapers or the television, the magazine articles, and they listen to the radio, and what do they hear? Constantly something negative, negative, negative. So that's why I say I hope we've come out tonight feeling good, alhamdulillah, about being Muslim. The subject that we want to speak on, and we have an article about the Shahada, which is on our website called The 9 Points of Shahada. But that's not our topic tonight, so I won't be talking about that one. And after the Shahada, there's something called Zakat, or purification of wealth. That's also very, very important. We'll be talking about that more later in the month of Ramadan, because that's an important pillar of Islam, and it pays off real well in Ramadan. That's why most people pay zakat at that time. Now we're going to move up to our third pillar, as we would think of it, and talk about that subject, and that's where we're going to go right now, to the pillar which is called what? Saum. And let's come to that one right this minute. It is the third pillar, according to the way I did it tonight. It can be the fourth pillar. It depends on what you list first, actually. But in this one, you have to know that we in Islam, the things that are important are, number one, the Quran, and number two, what did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say or do? Okay, and the mark of a real scholar of Islam is that you hear him say, not his opinion, but qala Allah wa qala Rasul. What did Allah say and what did Rasul say? And if you're hearing this constantly in the talk of the person, this is an alim of Islam. But if he's quoting himself and he's quoting some other sources, which is not Quran and Sunnah, then this is an alim of dunya. And this is not the place nor the time for that for us. So we want to know, what did Allah say? He says in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Quran, if you use the number system like I do, then you look up the ayah number 183, which we read today in the dars before the khutbah. And what does it say? It says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O you who believe. And the word here, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, means from iman. O you who have faith, or you believe, the believers in Islam. Kutiba alaykum. It's been ordered for you, all of you. What? What did I leave out? Saum. And that's our subject tonight. The Saum, or fasting in Ramadan, has been ordered for you as it has been ordered for those min qablik. Min qablikum or min qablik. Before you guys. That you may achieve taqwa. Okay, now we already broke it down. We said this is for believers, so that means every single Muslim has been what? And this is an order of Allah. Kutiba alaykum. Ordered for all of you. You must do it. This is not optional. These are not the five options of Islam, by the way. These are the pillars. This is what makes you a Muslim. Ordered for you to do what? Fasting. What does it mean? Saum. And this is a word in Arabic that means what? Actually, it means that you're going to, can mean that you're going to stay away from many things. It doesn't have to just be about food and drink. And as a matter of fact, we know that. It's not just about food and drink. It's also you don't have any sexual intercourse in the daytime. You can't do that. Not in those hours, right? So that's a third thing, isn't it? But also, this is a word Allah uses in Quran with reference to something else, which is to be silent and not speak. Now, some of the prophets have done this over the years, and also Miriam, the mother of Isa, alayhi salam, did this. This is a fasting from eating. Has nothing to do with, from speaking, not to do with eating. Not to do with eating at all. And that's when you're silent, you're not going to speak. Have you heard about this before? Well, the Native American Indians, they used to do this too. In fact, they still do. A certain period of time, maybe the sun goes down on one night, they won't speak till the sun goes down again on the next night. They won't speak. And Zachariah, he did this. And we mentioned Miriam, the mother of Isa, she did this. So this means you're going to stick to something. And this particular case here, Allah wants us to stay away from food and drink and marital relations during the daylight hours of the month of Ramadan. And Allah uses the word Ramadan in the Quran. So this is the month which is well known to us to be on the lunar calendar. And it's the month following Shaban. Now, what happened in Shaban? Does anybody know what happened? Well, as we said, Kala Allah, which we quoted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waqala Rasul, what did Rasul Sassam say? What did Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessing be upon him, what did he say? And it happened at the end of Ramadan, and he said, O people, there comes upon you now a month in which is the day, and the night of that day is better than 1,000 months. 1,000 days? No. Weeks? No. 1,000 months. Now, how many of you had a computer and you worked it out or a calculator so you'd know how much that is? 83 and a half years, right? Just to check it out, right? There is a night in this month better for you than 1,000 months. What do we call it? Layl means night. Qadr means power. Literally, power. Or it can also mean what? Order of Allah. This is the order of Allah, preordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why really Laylatul Qadr, when we say night of power, we know what it means, but if you tell that to somebody else, they're going to go, the night has power? It doesn't make sense. I thought Allah had all the power. And so the night of the preordination of what? Because something had to happen on that night. So let's recap that night a little bit and think about what does it mean to all of us. And obviously, I must be talking about this for a reason, and we know that either tomorrow night or the following night, we will begin listening to the Taraweeh, the night prayers, and then the following morning, we will begin the fasting. And all of this is based on the sighting of the what? The fi Arabiya. Huh? Qamar. The Qamar. What is Qamar? Moon. And so we're looking for the Hilal. Hilal is the crescent. Everybody know that? I'm trying to teach to myself some Arabic. And for our youth especially, we want to use the Arabiya as much as possible, okay? And this Hilal is, by the way, I'm going to be talking different subjects, so don't panic if you say, well, this is not traditional speech. I'm not a traditional guy, right? Okay, so don't panic. But on top of the masajid around the world today, you're going to see this hilal. You've seen that, the crescent moon. It has a star inside it, yes? Everybody knows it. Everybody thinks this is the symbol of Islam, right? How many of you know that is not the symbol of Islam? Never was. It was not the symbol of Islam. That was the symbol of the Ottoman Empire. That was the Ottoman symbol that they liked, and that's what they used. But it wasn't used until they put it up. So this is called a what? An innovation is called a what? Bid'ah. Yes. But it's not a bad bid'ah unless people put it in the religion. So if you think you have to have it for good luck, or it's going to help us in some way, no. Then it becomes bid'ah in aqidah, which is unacceptable. But if you like it, it's nice, and it lets Muslims know, okay, there's a masjid there. Okay, like a sign, something like that. Okay, no problem. I was in one place. I think it was in Indiana, West Lafayette, Indiana, I'm not sure. But I remember when at the masjid, they had this little small, it wasn't a building. It was just something that went straight up. And over it, it had the hilal and this, najm. Help me out now. We got to stay with the Arabia, man. Come on now. Najm in the hilal. And I said, man, that's something. Because you could see it was handmade. They said, yes, we imported that. I said, you imported it? No joke. You paid money for that? They said, this was $25,000. I said, get out of town. You're joking me. $25,000 for a piece of metal? Come on, you could go to any shop around here and let the guy make it for, you know, $50. They didn't like that. They said, we have a story behind it. I said, well, what's the story? They said, some kids, you know, local kids one time, for fun, and we're not saying they did it out of, they hate Islam. No, no, because all kids make mistakes. So some of the local kids stole it. And all the Muslims got upset. And they put it in the newspaper. Oh, look, some people did something bad to the Muslims. Do you know those children's parents found out and they made them take it back and replace it? And they punished their children. Yeah. The Muslim kids didn't do it, by the way. This one time we're innocent. Anyhow, alhamdulillah. But I thought, $25,000 for a star, Najm, and Hilal, how? So I thought about this some more, and I said, you know, it would be good if we educate ourselves to know more about what we need in a masjid. One of the things we definitely need in all of the masjid is good teachers. We need good teachers. Do you know where we find the best teachers? We don't need to import them from India, by the way. You know where we can get the very best teachers? And we don't need to bring them from Saudi Arabia. And we don't need to bring them from Turkey or Egypt. You know where we need to get them from? Our youth. We need to get our youth educated and let them become the teachers of the next generations. I really believe it, because I've watched your youth here just in this yesterday and today, and I met some of them, and I'm pretty impressed. These guys have potential, a lot of potential. You do need to give them a bit of encouragement and a little bit of incentive, you know, and a kick in the pants goes along with that really nice too, and get them charged up and get them out there and get them working for Islam. So I want to mention that too. Now I'm going to come back to the subject of talking about the preparation for Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this Quran in the night of power, or the night of preordination, if you like that better. And it goes something like this, the Quran al-Kareem. Allah said in his book, A'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajeem. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. Laylatul qadri khayrun min alf shahr. I'm going to stop right here and back up and say, what does that mean? Because many times I found that Muslims are listening to the Arabia, but they really don't know exactly what it means. And so, and I'm a word nut. Now that's what I call myself to my friends, a word nut. But when I'm in a formal setting at a university, I tell people, I'm a doctor of etymology. Which means the same thing, by the way. A word nut. Somebody who likes to take words apart, find out their source, and where do they come, what do they mean. Inna, it means certainly, without any doubt. Inna, right? Okay. Certainly, anzalna. Now, what does that mean? Anybody know? No. No, it actually means sent down. Revelation is one subject. But if you say anzal or down, so this means it comes down, but the word actually has na at the end of it. Anzalna. Anzalna, what does that mean? We. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Who's we? Allah said in the Quran, we. Well, of course we know that, because in other places it said, Nahnu means what? We. Why did Allah say we? Some people ask me that. They say, wait a minute. You said your God is one. He has no partners, monotheism. You're making a big deal about that. Now, all of a sudden, your God is saying we all over the place and us. Come on. It's obvious that Jesus is a part of the deal here. And we're going, no, 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 no. They're saying, oh, so Muhammad's part of the deal. No, 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 no. So why did he say we? Why did Allah say we? Well, I tell them, guess what? In the English language, we can actually find something nice, which very often you can't, but we can find something nice to compare with Arabia. What is it? Well, when I speak to you directly, I give you a different state of being than I do somebody we're talking about. In English, you see, there is the state of being to which is to be, right? There's also the plural. This is a computer. This is a chair. This is my friend. But when I speak to you directly, you are my friend. You see that? Why I said are? You're just one person sitting there, right? You don't have a mouse in your pocket or something, right? Okay, so it's one person. You are my friend. You are all my friends. Well, actually, you're all my brothers. You're my ikhwan. You know, and you're Muslimin. Ikhwan Muslimin. Ooh, wait a minute. Sorry. That's what they accused us of, but that's another story. Anyhow, I have a lot of Hamas. You know what's Hamas in Arabic? Enthusiasm. If you have so much enthusiasm, you have Hamas. If you have Hamas in this masjid, speak loud, FBI is listening. No, just kidding. I got him, he's laughing. Alhamdulillah. So we'll go back and say, why does it say we? Why does it say nahnu? Why does it say anzalna or khalaqna? We created. Allah said khalaqna. We created. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We created, Allah said. We. Why? Because of the same thing I was saying. It's the state of to be. Instead of saying about himself, me or I, which he can say, but he can say we, which is the royal we, like the king or a queen or someone who is the premier of everything. They say, we are not amused. We are giving this decree. We have decided in this matter. And it's only one person sitting there, because that's the royal we. And who is more entitled to the royal we than Allah? And that's why it says we and us. So you guys, you especially our youth, when you read this in translation, don't get confused and think that there's something going on strange here. This is correct in the Arabia for the royal we. Got it? So now I'll continue. And Allah says that we have sent it down, fi laylatul qadr, in the night of the preordination. Means that Allah knew before He sent it down that it was going to happen. How did Allah know? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the first thing Allah created was what? Hey, alright, bang, you got it. The column. The first thing created by Allah is the pen. And He commanded the pen, write. And the pen wrote until it wrote everything that was going to happen. And then that book, that's the book which is put up with Allah that none can touch except the mutahharin, those who are pure. Those are the angels. So don't get confused about the ayah talking about the mutahharin, which are the only ones who can touch the book. This is talking about angels. Still, that has nothing to do with the subject of making wudu and touching the Quran. This is a different subject. But don't use the ayah to prove your point. That's what I'm saying. Next, we want to know, what does it mean sent down? Does it mean physically sent down or sent down spiritually, or how does that work? Well, to know that, you have to now go to the Sunnah. Let's go to the Sunnah and see what's happening with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it turns out he's about 40 years old. He's retired from being in business. He'd been in about 15 years going down the road, up and down, and selling merchandise and doing things in caravans. You know that, because he worked for Lady Khadija, and he was married to her, and they had a lot of business. But now he was fasting in what month? Ramadan. You know that. If it's Laylat al-Qadr, it has to be in Ramadan. And he's fasting, and he's in a cave. What's the name of the cave? Hira. And what's the name of the mountain? Jabal Nur. Yeah, you got it. So in the mountain of light is a cave called Hira. And in this cave, he is fasting and praying, right? Now, I want you to put yourself in the mind of what that was like. It wasn't like this with all these lights on, obviously, was it? And if it's at night, it was probably dark. Does it make sense? He's fasting. It's very quiet. Not like here with all the fire engines going around and the police. And no, it's very, very quiet. Put yourself in this mindset for just a few minutes and think what it must have been like when suddenly someone entered the cave with him. Somebody big. And somebody grabbed him and pressed him to his chest. And then he ordered him, Iqra. This is an order coming to him. Now, Iqra, most people try to translate to English to say what word? Read. But guess what? Not anymore. 100 years ago, that was a good translation. It's not any good anymore because people don't know how to read anymore. No, I'm not joking. They know how to read as in reading a paper. But this didn't mean that. It meant recite. Nobody recites anymore. Nobody. If you told anybody, can you read for me? They'll go, yeah, give me a piece of paper. But 100 years ago, if you said read, they knew that you meant, I want you to recite something for me. Are you a reader? They used to have people who did readings. Now, I'm not talking about the, now you see those palms up there, the palm readers, that's what they call a reading. Not that. But they used to recite if you said, okay, read. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. That's reading. Well, not very good reading, but hey. So that's a recitation. And this is what he was saying. But the Arabiya, again, this word Iqra can be meant to be read as in recite, or it might mean to read, and you might think about reading a paper too. So I won't disqualify it, but it's better to give him the word recite. Because listen to the response of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you'll see why. Because when the angel released him, and he said to him this Iqra, the response back from Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, La ana bikari, I'm not of those who recite. So that's when the angel took him again and pulled him to his chest again, squeezed him. This must have been very scary. And released him again, and again ordered him, Iqra. And he said, Ana ummi, which means I'm illiterate. I don't read, I don't write, and I don't know what you want from me, basically. I don't do that. Again, the angel grabbed him, pressed him to his chest, and released him, and he said to him, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajeem, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaqa, khalaqal insana min alaqa, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi alamu bil kalam, alama al-insana ma lam yalam. Now the translation to this in English is difficult, but it's very powerful, and some of the things in it are only known to us today. Recite in the name of your Lord, who created mankind, all human beings, from a alaq. What's alaq? Do you know what it means? It means a blood clot. It also means something shaped like a worm, a fat worm, a leech that sucks blood. And it also means something that hangs or clings. Do you have a refrigerator at your house? And did your kids put magnets on the door? Those magnets, do you know what those are in Arabic? Alaq. Because they're hanging. So the next time you look at the refrigerator door and you see the alaqs hanging there, and that's alaq hanging. You say, well, why are you giving all this? This is dictionary meaning. It is true. This is a dictionary meaning. Because guess what? Dr. Keith Moore, the top embryologist in the world in Canada, Toronto, Canada, some years back, oh, I guess over 10 years ago, something like that, was in Saudi Arabia for a big science conference that they had over there. And he testified in front of the video camera. It's on my website. I have his actual image. You can see if you want to go see him, say it. He said that what they found from this in the Quran, nobody could make it up at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said there's no way Muhammad could make this up. This has to be from God. What was he talking about? He said because under the microscope, which didn't even exist then, they can see what a baby looks like at the minute he's conceived. At the minute that egg is conceived, the egg, when it comes from the mother, it's fertilized by the father with the sperm, it attaches itself to the wall of the uterus and it clings. Alaka. And it's shaped like what? The leech, alaka. And it's a clot of blood, pulling blood. It's alaka. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaqa. Khalaqa al-insana min alaqa. Created man from an alaq. Recite in your Lord is so generous, who taught man how to use a pen, a pencil, or, you know, a writing implement. Taught man what he didn't even know. What do you know right now, except that Allah gave you that knowledge? Wow. Is that amazing? Now, here's what we know from the Sunnah, from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the Quran came down in the night of preordainment. It came down right over what? The Kaaba. Right over the Kaaba. And from there, from that position, for the next 23 years, bits and pieces and pieces and bits came out, and this became the final revelation. 23-year period, and it helped us to know what Allah wants us to do today. It helped the people know then and today. No different. The meaning of Quran was very real to them, and it's very real to us. Look at this. Remember what I read to you? Fasting has been ordered for you like who? Like those before. Do you know that Surah Baqarah starts out by mentioning this subject? They believe in what's being sent to you, O Muhammad, and they believe what was sent down in public and before you. Right? What is it talking about? The Bible. Now, the Bible doesn't exist in its original form anymore, but bits and pieces of it are very similar to what we know in Islam. So we won't discount it, but at the same time, we're not going to sit there and read it all the time. We have the Quran. Do you know what it says in the Torah? In the books of the prophets in the Old Testament, there's something called Isaiah. And this is easy to remember. 40. Can you remember 40? Go read chapter 40 of Isaiah and look and see what it says about the prophet who is going to come. And he will recite what he hears, although he's illiterate, bits and pieces, here a little and there a little, and he will be as one calling in the desert. Who is this talking about? La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, alhamdulillah. So they have it in their book, whether they want to accept it or not. We have it in our book, alhamdulillah, and we do accept it. And so now we have some better understanding, a little bit about the introduction to Islam, and an introduction to one of the pillars, and the introduction to what? To Ramadan. And this is good because we're coming up on Ramadan right now. Those of you online, you're listening to Islam tomorrow. We're broadcasting live today. We're here in Queens, New York. We're at the masjid called, how do you say it, Mamour. Masjid Mamour, and it's Jamaica Muslim Center. Did I get it close? 50% or better? Better than that? 80%. That means I passed. Alhamdulillah. I just wanted to give some introduction to the subject of Ramadan from a different perspective. I know you already know hadith, you know many talks about Ramadan, but I want to give you something different tonight, that's all. And so this is a good way for us to get started. The rest of it is that Allah was saying in the Quran how it was sent down, and it mentions in this surah, the surah called Laylatul Qadr, it mentions in there that the Ruh, what is Ruh? Jibril. Now, why do you say that in English? Jibril, I'm pushing myself. I'm trying to make myself say Arabic. Help me here. Jibril, huh? Right, Gabriel. Anyway, alayhi salam. So, it's telling us a title, and it solved a big problem for me. I used to be a Christian. I was your enemy 12 years ago. Hello? And now I'm sitting here talking about Islam. This is help for anybody, even Bush. May Allah give him the best hidayah. May Allah awaken his spirit to the haqq of Islam. And all these people. And if you said, some brothers, they don't like me to say this. Really, they don't. They say, oh, these people are mean, they are kuffar. Okay, hold on a second. What about Omar, radiallahu anhu? What about Khalid bin Walid? He used to kill Muslims. I never killed any Muslims. I never killed anybody. So I'm saying that, you know, these people can be guided. And this is what we should be praying for in Ramadan. Even if they are doing what? Even if they're shooting us, killing us, dropping bombs on us, let's make dua for them. Now I'm going to show you something. You might not realize this, but there's a lot of good Christians out there. And they cry when they see the damage been done to the Muslims. I watched some of them cry so much that Allah guided them. They came to Islam in the last 2 years. I've seen more shahadas since 9/11 than I did before. I saw a lot before, but I've seen even more now. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now, some of you might have seen the videotapes we had out here earlier. I don't know if you saw them or not, but there was one called 135 People Make Shahada. Did anybody get that one? Anybody get it? No? Okay. You need to copy it and let everybody see it. Or bring it here some night. Put a screen up here so people can see it. Because in it, 130...
You okay, that's all right? He didn't know what's going on. No. All right, Shay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's about to go pop from Brian. I'm going to say, Jim, my wife's making a phone call.
Can you just, she works on the hospital. Our hospital's not going to open to work tomorrow morning at 7.
5, 4, 3, 2. Are we back on? Okay, sorry about that, guys. Alhamdulillah.